welcome to episode 18 of the Everyday Confidence Podcast from theskillfulmind.com. I'm your host, Steve George, and today I'd like to show you some NLP techniques to control your anxiety and help you become more confident. Hello again. Okay, today I want to talk a little bit about neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, and go over briefly just three of the techniques we use in NLP to help with things like overcoming the anxieties you feel when you're trying to make these changes to your life. Specifically, those anxieties that can leave you feeling less than, or anxieties that can immediately block your motivation or make you feel even more resistant to the changes you know you need to make if you're going to improve. So, often we know exactly what we need to do, but it's the possible negative side effects of those actions that hold us back, really. Because you're probably going to be doing something that's outside of your comfort zone, or it's something that you've not been very successful with in the past. Okay, so today the three tools we're going to be looking at are anchoring, meta-modeling, and reframing. And each of these three can be used either independently, or you can use them together as an overall system. Now, I've mentioned the techniques previously back in episode 10, I believe it was, but really they can be so powerful, especially when you use them all together, that I just wanted to spend a bit more time explaining each of them individually today. Okay, so the first technique, as I just said, is called anchoring, and an anchor is very similar to a bookmark. So when you're reading a book, it's likely that you'll come across certain things that you want to remember. Especially if you're reading something like a non-fiction book. Now, you can make a few notes, or you can try and keep the information in your head, but what you're actually left with then is never really as good or as helpful as the original information was. So what's the answer? Well, you could put a piece of paper in between the pages you want to go back to, or you can fold the corner of the page over or something like that. And then that way, when you want to go back to find the information, you can just quickly flip back to the page you were on and read it all again. So you've used an anchor to quickly find what you're looking for without really having to think about it. And an anchor for your confidence or motivation or to overcome a particular anxiety works in exactly the same way. So you get your bookmark by recalling a time when you were experiencing the emotions and the feelings that you want to experience again. And then once you've got those, you anchor that by associating those feelings and emotions to an external repeatable stimulus, usually a gesture of some kind. So anchoring works by conditioning a particular trigger to cause a specific response. So in simple terms, let's say that you wanted to be able to feel more motivated to do a particular task, whatever that was. Then if you just close your eyes, relax, and remember back to a time in the past when you experienced intense motivated feelings. A time when you were feeling really motivated. It doesn't really matter what you were doing at the time. As long as the feelings and the emotions you were experiencing were feelings and emotions of motivation. It doesn't have to be a memory of you doing something similar to the thing you want to do now. It can really be a memory of anything. Okay, now while you're in that memory, remember all the sensory cues associated with it as well. So things like what you saw, what you heard, were there any distinctive smells, things like that. And now fully concentrate on that memory and bring the entire experience to its most intense point. And then when you're really feeling all of those emotions and you're really feeling all of those feelings again, associate those to an anchor. So, for example, pull your index finger or pinch your earlobe or touch your middle finger with your thumb, something like that. Now, be very careful not to choose a trigger that you're going to be doing naturally anyway, because you wouldn't want to be firing off all those powerful feelings all the time now, would you? So be careful to pick something specific, otherwise you'll be walking around super motivated all the time, and we wouldn't want that. So anyway, once you've anchored those feelings, take a short break. Let your mind slip back into its normal state. Then repeat exactly the same steps again. And the more often you boost that anchor by repeating the process, the stronger the effect's going to be. Now, you can use a different memory if you want. As long as the new memory is also about a time when you were highly motivated, it doesn't really matter what the memory was or whether it's the same as the first one. Now, once you've anchored those feelings, you can test it. fire the anchor by doing whatever the associated gesture was that you chose. So pulling your finger, pinch your earlobe, whatever it was. And all those intense feelings from your past memory will now flood back and make you feel motivated. So whenever you need to feel motivated now, you can just fire the anchor and give yourself an immediate boost. Okay, so that's anchoring. And next is meta-modeling. Now, everyone already has a meta-model because a meta-model is basically just a set of questions we use to design our model of the world or our map of what's real to us. I've explained in another episode that what we perceive as an event happening to us is actually just our interpretation of what's happening to us rather than the actual event itself. And I'll link to that podcast on the podcast page for this episode in case you haven't listened to that one yet. Now, the problem with the model we use every day is it causes us more problems than it solves because of the way that we tend to generalize, delete, and distort the information coming into our minds by the way that we use our language. In fact, neuro-linguistic programming literally means the way our minds, or neuro, and our language, linguistic, programs us to act in a particular way. So if we can analyze and then change the way we use our language, then we can develop a much more useful meta-model. Okay, so the three ways I said we create problems with our language: generalizations, deletions, and distortions. I'll give you an example of each one so you can get a better idea of what each of those is. Right, so generalizations are things like, this always happens to me, or I'll never get this right, or why do I always feel like this? No one likes me, everyone tries to ignore me, things like that. So the key words here are things like always, never, everyone, no one, things like that. And what we tend to do is we tend to generalize one incident into every similar incident. So if you find yourself using generalizations such as all men are arrogant, then you should stop and ask yourself questions like, is that really true? Are all men arrogant? Do I know any men who aren't arrogant? And then that'll help you see that generalizations can't possibly all be true. Okay, so next is deletions. Now, you'll experience deletions most often if you're someone with a low self-esteem, for example, where because you've got a low opinion of yourself anyway, you'll quickly accept the negative things people say about you, but you don't acknowledge the compliments you get as being relevant. So if, for example, someone compliments you on a particular task you've done at work, you'll probably respond with something like, oh, I was just doing my job, it's nothing, anyone could have done it. So you delete the compliment as something anyone could have done, and it had nothing at all to do with you specifically. Now, if you use a deletion, like brushing off a compliment, try asking yourself something like, could what this person's saying actually be true? Could it be that I have done a good job? And then finally, distortions are where we make an unrealistic judgment about something without any proof. So, for example, thinking something like, Joe hasn't called me for a week, so obviously I must have done something to upset them. So we ascribe a specific result based on our unproven thoughts about ourselves. So, for example, because X has happened, I must have done Y. And if you find yourself using a distortion like this one, like Joe hasn't called me for a week, so obviously I must have done something to upset them, ask yourself if there could be another different reason why he hasn't called. And by using this type of questioning, you can help yourself become much more resilient to what are called cognitive distortions, or thoughts that cause you to inaccurately perceive reality. And finally, the third one is reframing. Now, reframing is exactly what it sounds like. You reframe an event in your mind so that it means something else. So when you experience any event or situation, that event or situation is filtered through your belief system. And your belief system gives you a frame of reference to work with. And especially in people with a low self-esteem or problem with confidence, then those frames of reference can very often be negative ones. Now, I know I've mentioned it before that our emotions are just trying to help us, but it's absolutely true. They're always trying to give us a positive outcome, even if that sometimes makes us think they're restricting the things we really want to do. And that's because our mind has developed some very powerful skills to protect us from danger. It's just unfortunate that sometimes they can be a little bit overzealous and jump to some quite unhelpful conclusions. So let's take the simple example of a fear of flying. Now, when the time comes to get on a plane, your fear of flying pattern starts to run, and you straight away begin to think of all the reasons why you shouldn't be getting on the plane. Things like, what if the landing gear breaks? What if one of the engines catches fire? And then on top of those thoughts, you add the odd generalisation, like, if any of those things happen, I'm definitely going to die. And really, that's just our mind trying to protect us. So the way to reframe it is to focus on all the positive aspects flying will give you. So a great example is something like to remind yourself that approximately 1.35 million people die in road accidents every year around the world. So that's an average of 3,700 people per day. And yet in the whole of 2019, 287 people died in a plane crash. So by choosing not to get on the plane and by driving there instead, that effectively means that you're 4,704 times more likely to die than if you just went by plane. So choosing to fly, you're actually increasing your chances of survival. So what you've done is you've reframed what in your mind was initially the real possibility of death to something that's much less dangerous than the alternative. Now, before I get a load of nasty emails, I know it's not as easy as that, and flying is quite an extreme example, but it gives you a good idea of how the process works. And obviously, the belief system you're using every day has taken you years to build and strengthen. But using these tools does work. Like I've said loads of times before, build on every success. If you can talk yourself into flying once, that's a success. And every attempt after that is going to be so much easier. And you can use exactly the same technique for almost anything that you've got a negative reaction to. Now, always check your beliefs for conflict. Usually your mind is using some sort of outdated pattern to try and keep you safe, but by questioning those patterns, you can make some pretty big positive changes. So there you have it, three NLP tools that can help you achieve huge changes in your life. So today there's no single action step for you to take because everyone's issues are going to be different. But what I'd like you to do is take the time to identify which of those things are causing you the biggest problems. Then use the technique to help you change it. There'll, as usual, be links on the podcast page, which will be theskillfulmind.com/podcast/18 to different posts and podcast episodes that will help you understand a bit more about them. And if you've got any questions, leave them as a comment on the page, and I promise you I will do my absolute best to help you find the answers. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you in the next episode. Bye for now.